Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're going to be covering Severance Season 1, Episode 5, The Grim Barbarity of Optics and Design.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, the grim barbarity of Lumen, let's put it that way. Or here, for that matter. But yes, we are going to be covering that. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for this show. If you've not watched the show, you don't know what I'm talking about when I say Lumen, so there you go. You probably should be watching this show, because it's actually a very easy watch. It's on Apple TV+, and it's dystopian, weird, creepy, corporate, all those things. We are also having something to drink. This is also your idea.
Yeah, it's milk.
Was there a reason you thought about milk?
The goats.
There are goats. There are going to be
goats.
It's
not goat milk.
It's not. No, I don't have goat milk like lying around the house. So whatever. I
feel like that would be weird if you did have goat milk. Like, unless you have a goat.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, I don't know if anyone's milk of choice is goat.
I guess if you live maybe in Greece.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Anyway. It's not ours, our choice. So we are having cow's milk. So sorry. Anyway, so let's get started. Kelly comes to as an Audi on the elevator, and she's hanging and strangling, and her feet are flailing, and the elevator opens on the non-severed floor, and no one's there, and no one sees her. The elevator comes back down. And meanwhile, we get to see, you know, like, Mark's like, oh, did Kelly leave? You know, you probably need to leave, Dylan. Mark goes to the elevator, and then the doors open, and security's running to the doors, and Mark is, you know, sees her, grabs her, tries to lift her up, and the security guy is able to, you know, get her down, and she looks like, it's unclear whether she's alive. Mark's freaking out, and the security guy kind of shoves him in the elevator and says, you need to go. So they're hoping that his memory is going to be erased by going up in the elevator. Mark, of course, you know, once he leaves, is like, hey, I'm fine, right? Mark comes to work the next day, and he's, as soon as he hits the severed floor, he's scared and very concerned about Helly, and he wants to know if she's okay. And they're like, yeah, she'll be back at work soon. And he questions that, but they're like, this happened on your watch. Like, this is your fault in some way.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah. But he goes back to work. He then grabs his brother-in-law's book and goes to the bathroom, and there are all these absurd analogies. I didn't write any down. Did you write any of them down?
The analogies?
Yeah, from the book, the brother-in-law's book.
Oh, yes. Oh, let me take a look. I think I only wrote one down, and it's bullies are nothing more than bull and lies.
I mean, there's a plethora in there of just absurd phrasing, and it's really very funny how there's absurd phrasing both in the corporate world and in the outside world. The security guy tells the supervisor that Petey was reintegrated. That's the data they were able to get off of his microchip. The supervisor says that they need to find out who did it. He gives him instructions like, I'm not going to tell the board until we find out who actually reintegrated him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you should be completely transparent, but at the same time, it's like, get all of your ducks in a row and then present it, because... But I don't know.
Well, I think she's presented the theory about reintegration before, and they've rejected it. So
they have. She has, but she didn't have the chip to prove it.
Right.
So now she does, and now she's like, "But wait, I want to figure out who did it." It's like, okay, but like maybe get them on track so they can help. Maybe
right, because they have resources.
They should also want to figure out who can reintegrate people.
Yeah, I think her concern. There seems to be a lot of this
animosity.
Well, just contention between departments and things, and so it's almost like she's concerned that she would be considered bad for having allowed it to happen, so she doesn't want to be brought to the break room for, for
But
whatever.
literally, like, what could she have done? Like, it happened outside of work. The only person she seems to stalk outside of work is her, is fucking Mark, and she's
But
been trying her best.
she could have been stalking Petey, and she doesn't. Why is she only stalking Mark? This is a question.
I think she has a weird fixation on Mark.
Because they could be dating in her mind.
I think there are other reasons, but I think
I.
that's definitely part of it. I think Mark is her biggest experiment,
Well, and
or
that
the one she's
we will
closest
see
to.
more of that as the show goes along. But it is an interesting question and one that should be in your brain.
Yes.
So in case you don't have a microchip and you're not severed. So just in case. Mark's sister, he finds out as he's leaving work that day, is at the birthing center. He gets like a bunch of messages from
I
his
love that you
grandma.
keep calling it the birthing center. It's literally a
That's what they
cabin.
call it.
I know,
That's
but
what
like
they
it's
call it.
literally just a group of cabins in the woods for you
But
to have
some
an
are really,
at-home birth.
yeah, there's some really nice ones.
Like, girl, just go to a hospital.
Yeah, really, seriously. Maybe they don't trust the corporate things like Lumen Hospitals.
Speaking of the remember the birth doula from the awkward date? I
Yes.
don't know if we mentioned she was a birth doula, but she's here.
She is there
I would
for
also like to give her a sh the actress a shout out. She I forgot her name already, but she was the original.
Not the original. She was the original in the
No,
revival.
I'm not talking about that. I was talking about Book of Mormon. She is the original female lead in Book of Mormon, which there really is only one. And she was also in the original Broadway cast of All Shook Up, which I have done, so that's why it matters to me. And then we actually were watching something last night where she was the original Broadway, sorry, the original revival
Eponine.
cast of Les Miserables. She was
And yeah,
Eponine.
she was Eponine in
And
the
she's fabulous.
2014 Lemons.
She's
She is
so good.
fabulous. Her voice is amazing. And you're looking at her like in this,
I
like
want her to burst
you
into
are
song.
so wasted.
I want her to burst into
That would
song.
be great. I would really appreciate that.
She needs to be in everything, and I want her to be.
We want her to sing and everything now. We don't want her to just be in everything.
Well, she
Anyway,
can. She's doing
yeah, it's
fine.
fine. So she's there and she's like, "Hey, Mark, you forgot I was gonna be here." And he's like, "Maybe." But
No, I was at work.
because he's severed at work, so of course he's like not thinking about, like there's a she's I guess questioning his continuity, his memory, the continuity of his memory. Anyway, so what she says is, "Oh yeah, your brother-in-law's in there crying over her, and so I kind of wanted to like give them a minute." And she goes off to look out around outside. Mark goes in, and the brother-in-law, he's so fucking crazy. I swear, it's just this guy is so nuts.
While his wife is actively like in labor, he immediately goes, "You haven't talked to me about my book or thanked me for like me dropping off my book."
The weird context in which that comes up. His wife has a contraction. She's having contractions like 20 minutes apart, which I gotta tell you, that's like a long time apart. Why did you even go to the birthing center if they were that far apart? But whatever. So she's having a contraction, and his thing is, oh, the fetus is attracted to pure things. So let's clear the air and tell a secret. And Mark's like staring at him, and he's like, "Well, you don't have a secret? I'll tell you one. I'm upset that you haven't thanked me for my book." And Mark's like, "What book? What are you
It must
talking
have been
about?"
stolen. And then he's just like, "Oh no, it
No.
was a pre-sale." And I'm just like, "Okay, I don't care."
Yeah, he's like so hyper emotional. It's just sickening. He also then like his wife goes looking for coffee, after the contraction passes, and the brother-in-law is like, "Help me hang the kelp." What are you talking
So
about?
dumb.
Are you insane?
When Mark asks, "Hey, what, why?" He just goes, "Do you really want to know?" And this is like, "You have a good point."
Yeah, no, definitely
Meanwhile,
not.
the sister has gone looking for coffee, and she comes across this couple in another really nice cabin.
Yeah, it's like
Like,
multi-story, beautiful,
the
amazing.
husband's gone off to do something, but the wife is still there. And so she calls through the window, "Hey, can I have some coffee?" And then she's just like, "I guess, sure." Then they have a little small talk, and then that's that. I will say the sister is a little bit weird
Yeah.
on first impression. I'm just like, okay, well, Like she's chill. She kind of acts like she does with Mark with her, with this random woman she's never met before, which is kind of like, that's pretty presumptuous.
Yeah, it is.
It wouldn't be my go-to, but that's just me, I guess. Also, Mark and the brother-in-law talk, and the brother-in-law brings up that they were going to have the child's middle name be Gemma after his deceased wife,
Mark's deceased
Mark's
wife.
deceased wife. And but he's like, we're respecting that you said that you'd be uncomfortable with it. And I'm like, thank you. I'm glad you at least had a conversation about it instead of just putting on the birth certificate and just being done with it. Because I feel like that happens a lot in TV shows where it's like, oh, we're going to name this new child after a child that's or child, a
Person.
person that is dead. And I mentioned while we were watching in Once Upon a Time, this is barely a spoiler. There's a dead person, and the new baby comes. And also, let me just talk about the family tree very quickly.
Oh, God,
Very quickly. So essentially, there are these two parents. They have a child who's a grown woman, and she had a boyfriend
she's not
who.
born a grown woman. I'm just
No,
messing with
she's a grown woman. She has a boyfriend who she has a child with. And the guy, her boyfriend, dies. And so her parents have a new child and they name the child after that boyfriend. It's very weird.
It's
And
too weird.
it's clear that she didn't really ask for that, but she's getting it anyway.
Yeah, no, it's super awkward. And of course, there's a lot of stuff. Naming children is an interesting experience. But what Mark says, and I appreciate this, is like the child deserves to have a name with no baggage.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
I agree with that. And I've tried to incorporate that into name. So,
Well, when you named me and my brother, our middle names are your names.
yeah,
You
that was your father's idea. No,
seem to not approve in hindsight.
it's turned out fine,
Why
and parallel.
wouldn't it? It's not like you're dead. I'm fine.
No, but I mean, even if the person is alive, there can be a lot of baggage. Like you have to live up to your namesake or whatever. I mean,
Whatever, it's my
it can
middle
be.
name.
Right. I mean, it can be awkward, and we're not those kind of people, but some people really are. And it all depends on your family dynamic. I don't think that the brother-in-law in these circumstances would be anything other than a
No,
hyper
such a weirdo about
weirdo.
it. And he would try to bring it up at every opportunity. And I think that's what Mark's getting at. We
Yes.
do, however, I
Yes.
will say, in our family, we're not. We have my cousin who had a child. She named their daughter after both her and her husband's mothers and grandmothers and whatever. I think it's both their grandmothers.
Grandmothers, yeah.
And so they have the namesakes, but there's not baggage with that. It's
No, it.
really truly an honor, and it's not like they died young or anything that I'm aware of. So it's kind of like, okay, well, it's just an honor of them.
Yeah,
See,
and that's a
it's a
different
different
thing.
dynamic as well with like how Gemma died and like the baggage that comes with that for
Yes.
Mark in particular. And so I absolutely respect him being like, that makes me uncomfortable. Please stop.
Yeah, and it's only been a year.
Yes, and it's only been a year.
Yeah,
Let's
so
also,
please don't.
lest we forget. In Once Upon a Time, it was even less time than that, which is
Yeah, it was
crazy.
creepy weird.
Anyway,
Let's
Mark
see.
tells his sister as his little secret that he's sharing to like help the fetus find its way out.
Which is, he thinks there's creepy shit going on at Lumen.
Yeah,
Which, yeah.
not much of a secret, Mark,
No.
but great.
We all know.
And the Mark sister gives birth. Milchick briefs Mark the next day at work on it being Kelly's first conscious day back. She since she tried to kill herself.
And he wants Mark to have kind eyes. They have to practice. It's
It's
important.
not a really good practice, if I'm
No,
being honest.
no. But honestly, when Mark actually sees Helly, she is like on the floor in the elevator. She's terrified. And it's a genuine reaction to her that he has kind eyes, but then he realizes
But
he's supposed to and
then
he
he goes the
freezes.
corporate route, which
This
is not as
performance
effective.
is so great because you get to see that whole arc in just a few seconds. Well
It's
done.
so perfect.
Well done.
Go, Adam Scott.
Yep.
They have locked away unsafe things like extension cords. Miss Casey's going to be observing Helly for the day.
Which
And she
again,
says,
creepy.
she also says, upon request, she can also perform a hug. God, oh my God.
That's so
Herb's
awful.
black goo comes back because he's, I guess, sleepy again. That seems to be the
That
symptom
seems
that
to be it, yeah.
causes it. But he is like, okay, well, I'm going to go see Bert. I need to talk to him because Bert's his safe space,
Yeah.
essentially. And then he goes to the printer to make a copy of Bert's map so that if Irving needs to be called back to the office, someone can find him.
Right. But when he
And
does
yeah.
that, the copier spits out these pictures that look like the OND revolt, like the OND people. It looks like one of the paintings that Bert has been putting up around. And it looks like the OND people like hacking up the people from MDR.
Yeah.
And so it freaks Irving out a little bit.
Milchick's very dismissive of like, oh, you weren't supposed to see that. Don't worry about it.
It's just a
Oh, of course,
joke.
it's not real.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Miss Cabell and is just like, oh, I was just trying to get Irving to not want to go to Bert as much.
Yeah.
And obviously that doesn't work, actually.
Yeah. But she also like is kind of like, oh, well, we need to let them think they have freedom. Think the rats in the maze have some freedom.
She's also like, I'm trying something new with Miss Casey. It's like, okay, I guess this is where we get an inkling that Miss Casey is severed
Yes.
because we haven't really gotten that impression from any higher ups. Because higher ups, as far as like Milchick and Cobell are concerned, they're not severed. Meanwhile, Miss Casey what could have been either way.
Right, but we definitely get the sense that she is severed, or something else
In
has been.
control of, or someone has control over her
Right.
in some way or another.
Yes.
Mark tries to buy Helly some like much needed reprieve from Miss Casey's onslaught of just like, would you like a hug
So
or whatever? And so
he spills something.
he spills his coffee on Miss Casey's notes, so she has to go to the supply room to get a new copy book. What? A book, a notebook.
Yeah.
One of those. And so he also is like, hey, Helly, do you want to like come to the supply room with me for those pen caps? Whatever. What a weird, lame excuse,
Was
but
what she
fine.
had been trying to stick down her throat or whatever, so sure.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So they're just kind of wandering, and he takes her to this like unfinished part, like his plastic all over, pa plastic tarps all over the stuff. It's not like a finished department, but he stops there and is just like, "Hey, I've been recreating Petey's map. I'm really sorry. Do you want to work with me on this? I've been trying to recreate it during my lunch breaks." And she's just like, "No, I don't want to fucking do that." Then they hear a goat.
Yeah, it's
I'm
weird. I thought it was a lamb. I thought it was sheep, but apparently it's they're goats. Okay.
pretty sure they're goats.
I thought they were sheep, but whatever.
They could be either.
I wasn't paying close attention, so it could be
I
anything.
thought they were kids.
Okay.
Not like children,
Right. But
but.
anyway, they hear it. Eventually, they will find out where that goes. Do you want to follow that
Let's just
string?
finish that. That's easy.
Yeah.
They see these goats being fed milk, and
The
there's a
guy who's
guy,
feeding them is like freaking out, like, no, you can't have them.
which it leads us to believe there's a slaughterhouse kind of thing going on. But why?
Yeah.
And why here? But because I mean that happens every day. Like it's not like it needs to be a severed procedure. But that there's mystery with that. Look,
Yes.
mystery.
Yes.
And then they wander back, and Helly eventually is like, okay, fine.
I'll help you with the map because what you've got is shit.
Yeah. And also, Mark's like, I'm really happy you're here. I know you aren't, but I am glad that you are here.
Yes. So on the Dylan Irving
Side
part
quest.
side quest. So they are going to I can't even remember what
Miss Casey
his.
sees Bert in a
Oh, in the
conference room,
conference
kind
room.
of
So
like
she
hyping
sends.
himself up to see Irv,
Right, so she sends Irving to the conference room.
which is a real one. We love to see it, Miss
Yeah,
Casey.
but for whatever reason, Dylan, I guess maybe he's afraid that OND is going to do something to him.
Oh
So
yeah, absolutely.
Dylan goes along.
Because he saw the painting
Right,
before
right.
with
And
Irving.
so Bert's in the conference room, and Dylan ties a belt around the door so that he can't get out.
Because that
Look, he
makes
was coming
sense.
at you. Because I guess like they almost touched or something, like hands, nothing like exciting. And then there's this whole conversation about OND versus MDR, and apparently the OND people had been told that the MDR people like have pouches with like joeys and like kangaroos do or something like that. It's some kind of bizarre thing that will jump out and harm you. So the decision is made that, and we don't get to really see much of this, but Dylan like ties up Bert's hands and they walk Bert back to OND to, I guess, release him back to OND or whatever. And they get to what they know to be the OND area. And it's basically the archive because Bert says, I've got something in the archive I want to show Irving. You can come to Dylan. It's fine. And there's some painting that he wants to show Irving that is one of those traditional Kier whatever paintings. But while they're there, Dylan's poking around and he sees the same painting that had the rebellion stuff on it. And Irving points out it's not the same painting because in this painting, the one that OND has, the badges on the people who are being violent and attacking others are MDR badges. And what Burr says is like, yeah, this is the painting of the MDR revolt. It's like, hang on a minute, why are there two of the same thing?
Weird
But with
vending
different badges. It's like, hey,
impression that they're the higher ups or the powers that be are trying to keep these people apart and trying to sow discourse.
Discord.
Discord.
Not
That's what I meant.
discord. Discord is the opposite of what they're trying to do. They don't
I
want
know. They don't
people
want
to.
discourse. They
They
don't
don't
want
want
discourse.
discourse at all. They want discord.
I don't know why I said that. That's weird. Anyway,
Yeah.
so yeah, there's all of that. There's still some flirting going on with all that. Meanwhile, Miss Casey finds Hallie and Mark, and she's like, oh, you're all in one piece. Good. You wandered off for like 2 seconds. We didn't want you to have another suicide attempt.
Yeah, I guess she was just terrified.
Yeah, I guess.
And she
Cobell.
certainly doesn't want that on her watch. Like, she was
Oh,
supposed to
no,
be watching
absolutely. She would be
everything.
punished as hell. Cobell, again, she's like, let them roam free a little bit more, but don't let them discover every department. Bert then is like, all right, we're going to take a drastic measure. And because at the end of last episode, I don't know if we mentioned this, Irv walked in on a really large, almost mailing room full of people who are OND. So we thought they were only two people in OND because that's what Bert told us, but there are more. And so they were being, they there was a lot of mistrust there.
And Bert said, I didn't tell you because I didn't know if I could trust you because you're MDR and those people are crazy.
And
And vice versa, right? Obviously.
but Bert introduces Irv and Dylan to OND as friends to stop the stigma.
And that's, yep.
Yes.
What were your best ones?
The stupid self-help book is really funny. We didn't write down a lot of passages. I was just kind of like watching and just soaking everything in because it gets really close to being like something thought-provoking and then it takes a turn. It's like,
Definitely.
oh, okay, yeah, you really still are an idiot. Mark helping Helly in general, I think, is very sweet. And you can tell he really does care about her well-being and wants to just be there for her. He's always checking in on her, trying to make sure she feels okay because he had to witness like an almost dead Helly, and that's
That
scarring
was
for
scary.
him, but it's also obvious to him. What I love about it is he doesn't make it about him witnessing it. He makes it about her feeling it and getting to that point,
Well, right, and
and which is what you should do.
we see a lot, like we see her looking in the mirror and seeing the bruising on her neck and things like that. So it's clearly more than just a mental issue for her.
And I'd also like to say all the stuff with the two paintings, I think, is really a cool thought. I like the way they went about it, of like, you could have just as easily said, oh, well, we clearly are just supposed to be like kept apart because that's what people say.
Yeah,
No,
they made
them,
dialogue.
they made them scared of each other.
Yeah.
And that's also really fucked. But I also, I didn't write this down. Oh no, I did write it down. Bert and Irv. I love them. They're so cute because Bert was in the conference room, like workshopping a joke to tell Irv, but Irv hadn't come to see him in a while because, and he was worried it was because the hand thing was too far. And but Irv is like, no, we're on the same page. We're on the same page. We both like each other. It's okay.
Well, and he says something like, you know, I know we're not supposed to be more than platonic at work. And Bert's kind of like, are we more than platonic?
It's like, well, I thought we were.
Yeah, it's really
That's
cute.
The vibe we're getting.
It's really cute.
Yeah, it is so cute.
But yeah, so my best part is obviously the book is very, very funny. The realization that the departments are being pitted against each other. And I like that, you know, Dylan's kind of part of that. So like part of like, why are they doing that? Why would there be two of these paintings? And, you know, I like that they're doing it as a visual and they realize that it is a really deep part of the program. They're two like paintings. It took time and thought to create this stuff. It's not like, you know, someone's just like sending some random ass email like, oh, you know, you're bad, you know, that kind of thing. This is a lot more elaborate than that. The birthing stuff I think is hilarious. I just think it's just completely insane what the brother-in-law is doing.
Or the fact that they went to a fucking cabin in the woods to do it. Like,
yeah,
if you wanted an at-home birth, if you were going to travel for birth,
yeah,
travel to a hospital.
Yeah. It's crazy. And Dylan is a best part, worst part for me. So I really like
I'm trying to protect Irving.
His language. Like, I just like how he phrases things.
King of the Fox.
Yeah, exactly. I just think he's really funny.
He is funny. I love Dylan.
And I think that and the slight aggressiveness, which I can kind of relate to, like he goes straight to, no, this is bad.
You grabbing know,
like
a stapler, trying to defend his people.
He's a very decisive guy, and I like that about him. And those are positives. There's some negatives in this too, but I think that those things are quite positive, and I like it. What were your worst parts?
Mark's brother-in-law. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I didn't even write him down. He's just terrible.
He's
I
awful.
Mean, he's terrible.
The goats, just because it, even after having watched all that has come out for of Severance so far, I know we're getting another season eventually. I don't know when.
Maybe, I don't
know. But just, I feel like the goats are just meant to be weird, and they're just a weird thing that they have, and like that's that, and you're not really meant to question it all that much. And I'm just like,
why are
but
they
I question
here?
It
We're not
so
question
much,
it.
And I'm just like, I feel like even in the next season, we don't really get a lot of an idea of what that's all about. But that's true with a lot of things with Severance, so we just kind of have to live with it. And then Miss Casey, she's very overbearing, and I think that mostly is because she has someone breathing down her neck. But I mean, that's just my speculation. But because she just seems on edge at all times. For someone who's in the wellness center, I feel like that's counterintuitive. She's not well.
My personal opinion about people who are in the wellness profession are often unwell. That's just.
But there's some people who can handle it better than others, and I don't know if Miss Casey's handling it. Cobal.
Supervisorly horrible. Always. Goat
Always.
Stuff. Hate it. Miss Casey, I agree. I just, there's something very, very, very wrong there. Dylan, and again, I think it's like, you know, he goes a bit far with a lot of this stuff, but I do like him being kind of a man of action kind of thing. I think it's funny. The brother-in-law, of course, is awful and insane. What grade did you give this?
B plus.
I gave it a B plus also.
I feel like it just moves the plot along. And I think that that's what we needed.
Part of that is like getting Mark and Helly on the same page kind of thing. Like, all right, we're not going to have that as an ongoing conflict. We're going to move past it, which I think is important for the story. And I'm not saying that just in hindsight. I'm saying that as, you know, because we haven't watched this in a while. I'm watching it and I'm like, get on with it. You know, like we know that there is going to be some kind of team. This is almost like a team building thing. And it's one of the things that, Supervisory actually says, she's like, oh yeah, there's nothing more controlling than to let the subjects think that they're free. And it makes it more and more clear that this is some sort of rat-based experiment, and we're the rats, which, yikes. Let's just really enjoy this dystopian universe. Let's keep going into the rat race some more. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. We hope that you join us, and
Cheers.
cheers.